I think we're on part two, theology proper. So let's remember how this works. So we like to talk to each other, have plenty of feedback and interaction. Makes the time pass quicker, and I think we learn more in that kind of setting. So I'll make a few comments, but then please feel free when you have something to say, something that you think would help others, or just a question or comment. So this is theology proper, and systematic theology, the goal in systematic theology is to examine the entire text, Old and New Testament, on particular topics, and try to come to a conclusion about what the Bible, the whole Bible, says about particular topics. That's systematic theology. Now, the class I taught this morning with our senior pastors here in Metro Manila is biblical theology. Biblical theology is different. We try to find out the doctrines of the Bible as God revealed them in the progression of the story of redemption. So in biblical theology, theological truths emerge as the story progresses from Genesis through to Revelation. I always like to start with systematic theology because that gives us a basic framework on how to think about the important doctrines and topics of the faith. And then you're ready to look at the overarching story, the meta-narrative, which is biblical theology. So Christians have been doing systematic theology for a long time, and there's a number of agreed upon categories. And we're looking at We've looked at one of them already. Our first one was bibliology. This topic is called theology proper. And the reason it's called that is, remember the word theology, what does that word mean? Study of God. Yeah. So you could say that theology proper, or the primary purpose of theology, is the study of God. But what we break it down and we say theology proper is a study of the nature and attributes of God. The nature and attributes of God. And the church has examined God's nature and attributes for a long time. And everybody comes up with different categories because there's so many different attributes. We have to try to find some way to put these attributes into some boxes, some categories that we can understand them. And so we're going to look at that, and we're also going to cover, under theology proper, we're going to look at the attributes of God's greatness and His goodness. We're going to look at the Trinity, creation, and then providence. These are the topics covered under theology proper. Now, Millard Erickson, in his systematic theology, said the doctrine of God is the central point of theology. A person's view of God supplies the whole framework within which his theology is constructed and his life is lived. So you could say it this way: how you view God determines everything about how you're going to live. Francis Schaeffer, do you know who he is? Many people consider him the greatest Christian apologist of the 20th century. Francis Schaeffer said that the most meaningless word in the world is the word God. The most meaningless word in the world is the word God. You know why he said that? That shocks you, maybe, some of us. He says, because there's no other word that's been used to convey such absolutely opposite meanings. He says it's a useless word because it means something different to every different person. You see, so it loses its meaning as a word because it can mean anything depending on that particular person. The mere word means nothing. We have to put content into it. And That's what theology proper is about. It's about putting content into that word. And it's determining from Scripture who God is. A.W. Tozer, do you know who A.W. Tozer is? You should know if you don't. He wrote, I think, one of the greatest devotional books in the history of the church called The Pursuit of God. How many of you read The Pursuit of God? Nobody? I did a project, this was probably 7-8 years ago. I polled, I think I got 20 leaders from every nation. It was top leaders in the campus and then leaders in the church. And I asked them to send me a list of their top 10 books, the top 10 books that have changed their life. And then, you know, that was interesting, but then I collated, you know, I looked for books that showed up the most often. And the book that showed up the most often on the list of the most influential books is The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. I highly recommend it. It's not a thick book. It can be read very easily, but every page will slay you. He had an incredible relationship with God, and he poured everything into that book. He has another one. If you get interested in that, another one, it's probably second to that. It's called The Knowledge of the Holy. And that showed up on my list too, The Knowledge of the Holy. And The Knowledge of the Holy, and that's a really thin book, but he takes, I think there's 36 chapters. In each chapter, he takes one attribute of God, gives scriptural evidence for it, talks about it, and just, you know, like in a devotional. You know, you could actually, it's a good supplement for your devotion. And at the end, he's got a prayer. And A.W. Tozer writes some of the greatest prayers. Actually, one of the main values of his book, The Pursuit of God, there's 10 chapters, and at the end of every chapter, he's got a prayer that he writes. And his prayers are worth the price of the book. And A.W. Tozer, in The Pursuit of God, he said about this topic, he said, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Attributes of God's nature. First fill in. Attributes of God's nature. Just for the sake of time, I've cut out a lot of this part because it just took us so long to get through. But I want to deal with these two attributes of God's nature. The first one, God is transcendent. 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 He's above and beyond his creation and exists independent of it. This idea is captured in Isaiah 58. Isaiah says, for my thoughts, or God says through Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we talk about God being transcendent, we mean that he's completely different than his creation. He's totally separate from the things that he made, above and beyond his creation, and exists independent of it. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to think about some of the ramifications of God's transcendence. Because God is transcendent, therefore, what follows as a result of that? God is transcendent. Give me some practical implications in our personal life. What does it matter? How does it affect my life? God's transcendent. Fidel, talk to me.
Think about holiness. The holiness of God is okay. Totally different.
Yes.
And what you said a while ago, that's completely separate. And we're looking back to our sinful nature.
Yeah.
So that's what comes first to my mind when it comes to transcendence.
Now, holiness is generally considered a separate attribute. Okay? God is holy. Everything you said is true. And God's holiness is unique. It's not like our holiness. But that's not really what transcendence is. Transcendence is God's complete separateness from us, not just morally, not just because of his holiness, but because of his being, completely separate. So you want to try again? Or pass it on to Rafi?
I'm still figuring
out. Okay, pass it on to Rafi.
To say that God is transcendent, it means to say that he controls every affairs of the earth. Because he is already from beginning to end, to the end.
Yeah. Now, what you said is true. He is sovereign. That's usually considered a separate attribute. So God's sovereignty is separate from his transcendence. So we're getting close. Let's keep trying. Yeah, Kix.
Personally, I think...
Yeah, because you already had this class.
Yeah, but it's a new revelation.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think personally, if God is separate and he can exist independently, well, yeah. I can say its own effect on me, it's not about me. So I think that's... It makes me think that it's not about my... I'm not the center of the universe.
That's a good thing.
So it's him. And without us, without this earth, without creation, God is still God.
Yeah.
So I think that's the personal implication.
Excellent.
On me.
Thank you. Rui?
I think because God is transcendent...
Just for the sake of the recording, if you could just talk in the mic.
I think...
We can hear you fine, but I think the people on the tape, so...
The loss that we have here doesn't apply to him. Like time and space. So like we cannot fully understand who God is. I mean just because he is in an entire new in a universe on his own.
That's excellent. You've actually delineated two other attributes of God. One is his eternality. He's eternal. And he is, what was the other one? No place. So he is omnipresent. He fills all things. He's everywhere. Those are separate attributes, close but not really related to his transcendence. So keep trying. Keep trying. Yeah, Arthur. There's one right here. Or right there.
I think... It also means God is not fully knowable by us.
Yes.
Since everything that we know is dependent on creation. And since he is beyond creation, we can't know him fully.
Excellent. Yeah, that's one of the results of God's transcendence. He can never be fully known. He's completely separate from us. We can know things about him, but never fully. Now, knowing that that's true, what's the ramification of that? Arthur, you want to take it one step further? Because he can never be fully known, keep going. What's the ramification? Consequences. Think about that. What does that mean for us?
I think we can put God in a box, or we can...
True. That's good. Yeah? Keep going, though. Keep going. Because he can never be fully known. Yeah. Is that Fidel? Fidel?
I'm thinking that there's something in a man in our hearts that we keep on seeking. Seeking and searching.
Yeah.
And discovering about God.
Yeah, keep going.
And... help me out, guys.
No, you're on the right track. I like where
you're going. That's what I thought, yeah. There's something in us that we're looking and discovering and pursuing.
Do you know more about God now than you did last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Will you know more about God next year?
I believe so.
Okay. Keep going with that.
And there is something in me that every single day...
Keep going. Extend it. Jerome?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the same meaning, transcendent. Is it omniscient? All-knowing?
No, that's a separate attribute.
Yeah, the more you pursue him, the more you know him. Because he's all-knowing. We don't know everything.
Yeah.
But the more I read that verse, Isaiah 55, it's just beyond us. He's greater
yeah,
than us.
Yeah.
That's just what I see.
That's okay. So, yeah, it's not...
He thinks different than
he
us.
Does.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, too. Yeah, Bong?
If we cannot really completely know his ways and his thoughts.
Keep going.
But the effect to me is that I have to trust him in every way.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. That's true. You took me off on a side journey. I'm trying to follow this one. Gio?
If we can't fully know God, that means there's never... every day we learn something new about him.
Great. Keep going. No, extend that. Yeah, Orly.
God is limitless.
Yes.
And so we cannot fully know like what they...
Good. Said. Keep going.
And because of that, we are just... We can just know a certain things.
Yeah.
And we cannot...
Yeah.
And we are actually limited in our...
True.
...capacity to...
Yeah.
...comprehend God.
Keep going, though. Arthur?
Yeah, I think we have an eternity of knowing God and growing our, in growing
now we're talking.
Our relationship with God.
Yeah, so let's talk about eternity. Are we ever going to figure him out, Arthur?
No, it will be endless of growing.
Let's think about that for a minute. What's that produce? What is that really called, what you just described there? Yeah, I'm looking for the word.
Eternal.
Eternal what?
Endless.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get it out of you. So, because God can never be fully known, throughout all eternity, we will continually marvel at some new discovery of God's character or nature. What is that? That's the essence of okay, I'm going to tell you. That's what worship is. That's what worship. Worship is marveling. Worshiping because there's something new. Every day, every moment, really, throughout eternity, there'll be some new revelation of Him that will lead us to worship. One of the most important elements of worship is mystery. You see? When there's no mystery, worship ends. Mystery is there's always something new. We never quite get them figured out. Those of you who are married, you know, in your relationship with your wife, you're learning something new. There's a mystery about this woman that she continually surprises you. That's what keeps life interesting, right? Now, when you project that onto God, His unfolding of His character throughout eternity, that's the reason we know we'll never be bored and worship will never stop. Because there'll always be something new about Him. We'll be lifting our hands and praising Him from some new attribute that we didn't know before. Yeah. It took a while to get there, but it was worth getting there, wasn't it? Let's keep talking about transcendence. What are some of... You got one of them. I think that's good. What are some of the other implications? Arthur, you're on a roll, baby.
I just want to ask something, Pastor.
Go. Yeah.
Since God can't be fully known, what would be the borderline of being heretic? Or
the borderline?
Yes. Because if there's something new that you discover, but it's not in the Bible, or say something about it.
I'm not quite sure I'm grasping your question. Can you try it again?
Then what if someone says, I discovered something about God.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody knows about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you discovered something about God that nobody else knows, then it ain't something about God worth knowing. So, because here's the idea. Remember, this was under bibliology. So in bibliology, Jerome, you're not texting anything, are you? I can't believe it. You did? It couldn't wait? Yeah. Under bibliology, remember the doctrine we talked about was revelation. Revelation. And revelation is that if God did not reveal himself to man, we could never have a right thought about it. So how has God revealed himself to man? Through his word. Yeah. So his word is an open document. It's not a hidden secret document. It's open to everyone. So you can't find out something about God that no one else has known. Because everything God wants to reveal, he revealed through his word. Now, that's at least in this world. In the new creation, will we still have Bibles? I don't know. Is there stuff for God to reveal to us beyond what's in his word throughout eternity? I mean, that's speculation. We don't know. But we certainly know in this world, everything that can be known about God can only be known through his word. So that's what anchors this idea. Does that help? Did that answer the question? Yeah. Okay, we're back on transcendence. Remember, we're looking for ramifications, consequences, implications. God is above and beyond his creation, exists independent of it. What else? Give me some other thoughts. Yes?
The more I know about God, the more I realize how fallen and how sinful I am. So the more I will adjust myself. And because it's an eternal pursuit of knowing him, it's an eternal also transformation within me, because the more I know him, the more I realize that I need him more in my life. So I think that's the one thing the transcendence of God.
I think, you know, what you said is obviously true. I don't think it comes under the heading of transcendence, but it's certainly a true thought. So let's keep going. Kicks again.
If God is transcendent, that means sometimes I have to live with some of my questions unanswered.
I mean, that obviously that's true. I'm just wanting to make sure that really fits under transcendence. Yeah, probably does. Yeah. So you get a gold star. Keep going. Give me some other. Yes, Jason. Is that Jason? Yeah.
Knowing that our God is a transcendent God, it gives me security. Because no matter what circumstances that we are facing, He is in control of everything, and we can still trust in him.
Yeah, great. Totally true and powerful thought. Doesn't fit under transcendence. Fits under sovereignty. That's another attribute, so sovereignty. But keep going. Keep working it out. What about this group over here? I'm not hearing much. This group. What you got? Somebody. Joseph.
No.
Stop right there. Just grab that mic and talk to us.
Just a small thought. In the Psalms, David was saying, what is man that you are mindful of him?
Yeah.
Now it begins to dawn on me. If God is really is transcendent, then what really is man? And it makes me appreciate more the relationship that he knows me more than I know him.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and I think that psalm does come out of transcendence. When you see how far God is away, what's man compared to that being? Okay, but we're still looking for implications, consequences. See, what I'm wanting to do, I'm wanting you to think about truth. It's not good enough just to have theological truth. We need to understand what's the implications for us in our life. So the danger of theology is you just get information. The reason I want us interacting and discussing is now we take these truths and find out what are the practical implications about them. Lloyd?
I think I'm thinking the same way as Kix did, because we're talking about thoughts and that he is independent and that he is he has went far beyond before us, which means that he has said his word, he has set all the rules of nature and all of those things even before we came.
Yeah.
Came to being, which means the starting point of this universe is not really our questions, because he has already given his take even before you learn to ask questions.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking the same way. I think I got what Kix was talking about. So it's not about me. I think that's a short...
It's a good thought. Probably fits better under sovereignty, but still a good thought. Keep going. Jay.
It makes me be in awe of God, because though he is transcendent, there are things that he allows me to know about him. And with those things that I know about him, I will treasure it and obey it in, my life.
I love what you're saying. You've kind of moved into our next point. So hang on to that thought. That's coming. Romar, did you have your hand? You ready to say something? God's completely separate.
For me, when I was looking at this topic, God is transcendent, start to think about the hope that God has for me, especially when he said that there is a promise that we're going to be like him.
Yeah.
And I start to think of a, the hope, the fulfillment of a promise that's far beyond what I am right now, far beyond what I'm experiencing right now.
I'm glad you brought that up. Now, 1 John, you quoted chapter 3, when we see him as he is, we'll be like him. That does not refer to his being. Okay? That has an ethical, moral understanding. We become like him as far as our character. But transcendence says, and this is the other implication I was hoping you would come to, transcendence says we can never become God. And that is a very important idea, because in the history of religious thoughts, man has wanted to become God. God's transcendence means, Romar, that we will never become God. He is wholly, completely other from what we are. And although our character will continually grow and reflect his nature, we will never somehow become God. There will always be a separation between man and God. Man can never become God. There'll always be an eternal separation between the being of God, his essential nature, and who man is. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of Eastern religions, they, through various different techniques, they want to help you merge into the divine and become the divine. But the doctrine of transcendence says that man is eternally different than God. And while we will grow and become more and more like his character, to such an extent that if our current person could see our glorified person billions of years in the future, we wouldn't even recognize how beautiful and glorious we are. And yet, we'll never get to that point of becoming God. Yeah? The last one, at least that I thought of, that I hope that you would get to. Yes, Arthur? Go.
Since God is beyond his creation and independent of it, that means apart from him, any effort that I make as a creature, I can't relate with him. Or I cannot connect with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to connect with me.
Yes, he should initiate the connection.
Good. And related to that, my thought is, because God's transcendent, miracles are possible. You see, God's completely separate from creation. He responsible for everything. Those rules, they don't apply to him. Miracles happen because God's completely above and beyond his creation. Now, the next idea, at first thought, seems to be a contradiction. Let's talk about this one. Number two, under attributes of God's nature, God is immanent. Let me spell that for you. It's I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T. Immanent. It's not eminent, E-M-I-E-N-T. You talk about someone who's eminent, that means a royal person who has great royal bearing, or like a king or something like that. Of course, God has that. But immanent means within. So when we say God is immanent, he is within his creation. Now, remember the first point, we said God is completely separate from his creation. And that's totally true. But it's also true that God is within his creation. That's totally true also. Although, when you face those, it's like a paradox. Either you're separate or you're within. You can't be both, right?
But he is.
Yeah. You can't be unless you're God. Right?
That makes him God.
That's one of the things that makes him God. He is both transcendent and immanent. One verse here, and there's plenty more that we could use, but in Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. So God is within his creation. Now, Eastern religions, they believe this. God is immanent. He is within everything. So in Eastern religions, it's the idea, have you ever heard the term pantheism? Do you know that word? Pan is a prefix that means all. And theism relates to God. So pantheism, all is God. Everything is God. God is so immanent, he's everything is him. If you just have a God who's immanent, then you have the God of Eastern religions. But now, deism, have you heard of deism? Deism was a religious philosophy that grew during the Enlightenment period in Europe. And deism postulated the idea that there is a all-powerful being who created everything, but he just got everything started, gave it a big push, and then he checked out. So he's not involved with his creation. He's totally transcendent. So if you just have a God who is just transcendent, you have the God of deism. If you have a God who's just immanent, you have the God of Eastern religion. But the Bible gives us a picture of a God who is both completely separate and wholly a part of. And of course, you know what that's supposed to do? That's supposed to blow our minds. So how can that be true? Well, it's a doctrine of revelation, not reason. We can't explain how it's true, but the Bible teaches it, and therefore we believe it. So God is not only completely separate, but at the same time, he's actually connected to and within everything. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Because God is in and a part of creation, what are some of the consequences? What does it matter? How will it affect my life? Yeah, Abed?
For me, there's a desire to worship God in every heart or in every man, because God is within us. It's like what, I don't know if it's Pascal who said it, in the heart of every man is a God-shaped vacuum,
yeah,
that only God can fill. So, but because we desire to worship God, if we do not know Him, we will worship a replacement or a man-made God.
Okay.
But because God is transcendent, our worship, although we want to worship God, our worship will not increase or decrease His glory because He is separate from us.
Yeah.
But we should still worship Him because He is in us. That's okay. Why we long to worship Him.
Excellent. Great. Other round, yes, Rui.
This is more of a question.
Okay.
I'm not sure if this falls in imminence, but in Colossians it says everything is created by Him and through Him and for Him. All things hold together.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you probably had this question before, that if you're saying that God is in creation and then He is in everything, and that means also that the evil things that are happening,
yeah,
it's somehow His creation, yeah, right? So I know the answer to this is something like, I mean, we cannot fully explain that, but of course we as pastors, some people in our congregation might ask that, Pastor, yeah, what about drugs or prostitution? Did sure, God yeah. create that as well?
Yeah. No, that is an awesome question. We're going to cover it real thoroughly when we get to sovereignty and providence. Yeah. Glad you brought that up. Keep going now. Imminence. Remember, let's think back to some of those things under transcendence and see how they apply. Yeah, go ahead,
yeah.
Orly.
To me, it's if God is immanent, then He is involved in us, in the things that we do.
Yeah.
And therefore, okay, we can have His presence. And therefore, we can rest assured that there's nothing on earth that can happen to us that He did not know or He does not know. Something
yeah.
like that. So you have confidence that everywhere you go or everywhere, yeah, whatever you do, God is with you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you because He is living in you. So God is involved.
When I say imminence, maybe I haven't explained myself very well. Imminence is not just the fact that He lives in us redemptively. Okay? It means He's within His creation. He's within all of the life He's created. Okay? Yeah, Jerome.
Yeah, when you said that, when you defined imminent, what came into my mind is Genesis, that everything that He created is good. So we love looking at the sunset.
Yeah.
Like mountains and nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more we look at those, the more we worship. We worship Him.
Yeah.
Because by watching nature, beautiful nature, waterfalls and all, it leads us to worship, and we see His nature, God's nature. It's like you see Him there because He created those.
Yeah.
He can't create something He's not. So yeah. That's yeah. just what I saw.
No, that's imminence. Yeah.
yeah.
That God is within His creation. So let's keep going with that. Because of that,
The more we should look at nature. I'm teasing. I don't know.
But we're heading in the right direction, you see. You started. You got so close to just stepping right in the door.
Yeah, I like adventure. We go out. We yeah. go out. The more we go out, and then the more we see nature, it leads us to worship, and maybe we're designed that way.
Not only worship, is there anything yeah. that you understand about God?
It's beautiful.
Anything
because His
else?
Creation is beautiful. It's awesome. It's great. It's yeah. It's not perfect, but
why isn't it perfect?
No, it's not perfect. Like in a box, or it's nature. It's beautiful, but it's not perfect. It's
yeah.
It's
of course,
a work
some of it's
art.
Ugly.
What's
some
that?
Of it's ugly.
Yeah.
You know, when the lion sure. kills the wildebeest. That's ugly.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah. We're heading in a good direction, you see. Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth declares His nature. Day to day they pour forth speech, and they spill out knowledge. Romans chapter 1, that which can be known about God through His invisible attributes. Remember Proverbs 6, the Solomon said, go to the ant. So all of these scriptures tell us something about immanence. What? Yeah, Jovir?
If God is transcendent and he can never be fully known,
yeah.
Being immanent, it means that He is knowable.
Excellent. Yeah, that's what I wanted you to do. He can be known. Why? Because He is... There we go. Because He's... I want to say... He's sort of written Himself into His creation. If God was transcendent, we could never have knowledge of Him. He would be so separate from us, we couldn't have knowledge. It's like an ant can't know a person. We're too high, too far above, too transcendent, see? It's because of God's immanence now, He can be understood by finite people. That understanding can never be comprehensive. Never be comprehensive, but it can be accurate. We can have accurate knowledge of God, but never complete because of His immanence. Excellent. Good job. You're thinking over there. You've got one of your students are over here too, right? Really? From Illigan? None of your students at the School of Campus Ministry? Okay, next year. I was prophesying. Any other thoughts? How about this one? Because He's immanent, He can be worshipped anywhere. He can be worshipped anywhere. He's in everything. How about this? Because He's immanent, it's impossible to run from Him. Wherever you go, He's already there. Yes, Arthur?
I think it's connected to God's general revelation. That's why no man has any excuse of...
Yeah.
God doesn't give any evidence of His existence.
Yeah, great. Excellent. All right, 10 till, let's take a break and come back at 2 o'clock.